You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, Colorado Rockies. Hi, everybody. I'm Allison Witter from MLB.com, and I have now approached the best part of my day because we're going to talk to Thomas Harding about the Colorado Rockies. And Thomas, this is really funny because not long ago I was having dinner with a friend and colleague, and we were discussing Rob Manfred, the new commissioner, his new initiative to try to market the players better, make them more familiar to the fans. And we said, you know, there's a Gold Glover in Colorado, in Nolan Arenado, and you know, how do we make him more on the national stage? How can we let everyone know about this kid who's a really great player? Well, I think that Nolan has taken care of that for us because I think he just outed himself to the entire country with this ridiculous catch that he made recently. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what that was and what you were thinking when you were watching it?
Tuesday night against the Giants in the eighth inning, two guys on, nobody out, and Gregor Blanco hits a foul ball right by the bullpen. And, you know, in San Francisco, the bullpens are down the baseline. So along the left field line, Nolan Arenado runs about 100 feet, and as he's getting there, the ball's landing in his glove, he is hitting the roll of tarp that's in front of that's in front of the wall in front of the bullpen. Flips, just about lands into the stands. I mean, he looks like a rag doll when he hits that thing. And he lands on top of the tarp, on top of the fence. Not only does he hold on to the ball, not only does he not break every bone in his body doing it, but he turns, gets up on his knees, and fires the ball to third base. Almost gets the runner who's tagging. That was unbelievable. I mean, I've seen catches against tarp. I've seen guys fall on top of and into the stands. But to dadgum near get two outs out of it, I had never seen that before. And I've been watching this game a long time. So that was certainly one that's worthy of the highlight reels. And it's funny, if I can kind of go off on a tangent here, but the Rockies have become one of those teams that doing the shifting, the extreme shifts, putting three guys on one side or whatever based on scouting reports. And other than DJ LeMahieu for the first week or so of the season, I was thinking, I haven't seen those highlight-level players. You know, maybe these guys have positioned themselves out of the Gold Glove because the ball hit to them instead of having to dive for it to make those plays. And specifically, I thought about Arenado. It's like, can I see a highlight-level play? Then that very night, he does something like that, and I'm like, okay, let's see someone top that this season.
It's really, I mean, I'm watching it right now as you're talking about it. I'm watching it on the Rockies website. And, I mean, I think about, like, Derek Jeter when he took the tumble into the – didn't he got kind of all bloodied up or he got a little bruised up? I mean, it's hard
yeah,
to
face – that beautiful face got bruised. Right. It is hard. I mean, yeah, with Jeter, I'm sure that play will live forever because that face that was the face of baseball got a little bruised up there. And it was a great play because Jeter's running full go. He catches it before the warning track, and his momentum takes him into the stands. But to make that catch as you're being hit, almost like a football player over the middle, the way that Arenado did. And also, the ball was not the easiest thing to catch because it was coming almost directly over his head. To make that catch and hit the wall the way he did and still have the presence of mind to flip around and make that throw, that made it one of the top plays. And the other part of the play that's underrated is this happened in San Francisco at AT&T Park. And that is one of the most boisterous fan bases going. I mean, if you land in the stands after making a catch there, there's a chance you won't come back. The fans just won't give you back. And Arenado said that there was a woman there, and I could see her. She had on a glove, and she wanted to make the play. She didn't. But she actually kind of put up her glove and braced him a bit. And he ended up thanking her for doing that. I mean, so she'll live on the highlight films forever, too. And like I say, I expected them just to follow him up, and who knows what would have happened to him. You know, maybe they would have fed him to one of those giant seagulls to fly around the park. But instead, they gave him back, and they actually gave him a nice cheer for it.
I was going to ask you what their reaction was. So, I mean, the Giants fans are pretty knowledgeable fans, so I can see where they'd be pretty enthusiastic about a great play, even if it's not one of their own.
Well, they'd be enthusiastic about it, although most of the time, even if they are enthusiastic about it, I don't think that they give much credit to the opposition. So to get a cheer out of the Giants fans, especially the Rockies, because over the last couple of years, the Rockies actually have a winning record against the Giants. And the series is always intense. So for a Rockies player to do something like that, that's pretty good that the fans would acknowledge it.
So let's talk about these first-place Rockies, other than that amazing catch. So there's a few other things that are going on. So this has been a nice little start to the season. And why don't I just ask you, just kind of open the floor, what's been going well? What has stood out to you as the things that are going right for this team?
Well, the fact that they started the season winning their first five road games, which had never happened in club history, that's something that they should celebrate, no matter when that happens, when you win five in a row on the road. But the way that they are winning is, I think, pretty impressive. They came out of the gates really slugging in Milwaukee, hitting a whole lot of doubles. I think it was something like, 16 doubles in the first three games, which is a major league record. That was huge for them because of the reputation on the road. Granted, it's just out of spring training. They haven't had a long homestand where you kind of lose perspective of how balls travel. But still, them doing that on the road was good. To go to San Francisco and play well in that series, that's huge for this team simply because they have to do well within the division. It's a beginning of a long stretch in the division. So they are playing well offensively by having controlled at bats, by at times making the right play. I won't call it small ball. They're not quite a small ball team, but just very good at bats. The starting pitching has been, for the most part, competent. They do struggle with pitch counts and a couple of other things and some experience, but the bullpen has really pitched well. I mean, you know, through the first eight games of the season, it was a sub-200 batting average against. That really means a lot to this team.
So on the pitching side, let's talk about that a little bit. With Eddie Butler, I find him to be a very interesting study at this point, just because everybody's sort of keeping their eye on him. And, not wonderful results. How is he getting through some of these starts? And does he have to evolve, like when the league kind of catches up to him? What do you see happening with him?
Oh, yeah, he has to evolve. I mean, this guy, Eddie Butler, he's absolutely fascinating to watch because this is a guy who hasn't pitched at the AAA level, really. He made one or two or very few starts at AAA last year when he was injured, so never got used to the altitude. And he's just a couple of years out of the draft, so you're literally seeing him grow up out there on the field. What we're seeing is he's falling behind hitters, throwing a whole lot of pitches, walking way too many guys, walking guys to start an inning, and he's barely giving up any runs because he has such a heavy sinker. He's also able to change speeds, and that power changeup is a heavy one. Everybody's hitting the ball on the ground against him. I mean, you see talent out of this guy that you don't see a lot of, and that's got to be exciting for the Rockies because they don't go out and get the top free agent pitchers. A lot of those guys simply won't pitch in Colorado, so they have to draft them and develop them. And to see a guy that can basically stuff his way through a game and make a lot of mistakes but overcome them because he knows that he can get a double play or a ground ball, that's pretty good to watch. Now, what will happen as the season goes? If he continues to walk guys, put guys all over the bases, throw a lot of pitches, you are going to see one of those really ugly games, three innings, 10 runs, whatever it is. But with the talent that he has, if he does get people swinging the bat early and early in counts and early in games, you also could see him knife through on, 80 pitches to win a game. He reminds me a little bit of Aaron Cook, who was an all-star one year here and their leader the year that they went to the World Series and to the playoffs later on. I guess Francis was the leader of the year of the World Series, but Cook then. He reminds me a lot of a young Aaron Cook where you saw some ugly outings, but you also saw some sequences to where, hey, this guy could be a very good pitcher in a difficult ballpark.
I was a little surprised that, I mean, given that they've gotten off to a pretty good start, that LaTroy Hawkins has already kind of lost the closing job. So I know this is his last year. He's retiring at the end of the season. He is 42 years old. And he blew two of three save chances. So normally that wouldn't be it wouldn't be that surprising. It happened so early. So what's going on with that?
Well, I think there's another factor that's working into this. If you look at what the Rockies did during the offseason, they weren't highly publicized moves, but they picked up guys like Jorge Rondon from the Cardinals and Jairo Diaz from the Angels, and also the guys that they've developed, Adam Ottavino, Brooks Brown. These are guys who strike people out, and the whole talk has been we have to develop power arms in the bullpen, power arms late in games. You watched the World Series last year where the Giants, they just passed the ball around the bullpen, and different guys from different arm angles would come in and usually strike hitters out. You saw the Royals do that too, where it seems like a guy would come in throwing 96, and as a change of pace, they bring in a guy throwing 100. And that's what the Rockies are working towards. So when you have a guy like LaTroy Hawkins, who he still throws 95, but the issue with him is he likes to get contact, ground balls, not a big strikeout guy. When your team is leaning towards strikeout guys, I think that LaTroy Hawkins as a closer had a short shelf life this season. And the good part about it is LaTroy Hawkins is a team guy where if they felt like someone else could get that job done, then what he would do was he would take the job that they would give him and do it very well. And Tuesday night against the Giants, he comes in earlier in the game, gets a 1-2-3 inning at a time when the Giants need some momentum. So that's what went on here. And Adam Ottavino, he has developed into a very good pitcher with that slider of his. He's worked on a cutter that'll help him against left-handed hitters. And he's one of those guys that fans latch on to. And it seems like if you've got a little something extra, that makes you a closer type. And he looks like he has that right now.
Yeah, he's a good guy, and he's one of the better teammates of anybody I've been around. So that's nice to hear that he'll just you know, kind of mesh into whatever they need him to be. And that could be very good for the team. So go Rockies. Thomas, thank you. And we'll talk to you next week.
It's been interesting. Thanks for having me. Hey, who knows what we'll be talking about next week, right?
I can't wait.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.